We're 93.5, 95.3 ESPN Radio.
And we're very happy, honored, blessed to have Mondays and Fridays True Wisdom come out of your radio. Brother Johnny is in Philo, Illinois. Johnny!
Stevie, how's it going?
Great to have you back. Mike Ditka is at Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Well,
how's that storm, Mike? I'm worried about you up there. What's happening?
Well, it ain't going to be good. I mean, I'm not going to be able to get out of here in the morning, and we got a flight for the afternoon. They say that may go. If not, we're just messing around and checking everything we can check, try to get out of here sometime tomorrow. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It's raining now. It's windy. You can see it's going to get worse. But then again, I don't know how much worse. I mean, we're a little bit off the main course of this thing, so we'll see what happens.
You have to get your driver sent out to Bristol to get you home, for crying out loud. Otherwise, you might be stuck there this week.
Well, I'm not going to be stuck here all week. I mean, I got to come back and do the radio show at the restaurant on Wednesday anyways. I'll get back eventually, and if it comes down to getting a private jet out, I'll get a private jet out once the weather breaks. I'm not going anywhere if the weather's bad.
Yeah, listen to this wind.
Governor Chris Christie has...
Mess around with 60-mile-an-hour winds. I don't care what kind of plane you're in.
No, that's right. There's not much you can do. I mean, the thing is what it is, and that's a bad storm. And I asked a forensic meteorologist a few moments ago if this was another exaggerated storm play, and he said, no, this looks to be pretty bad.
It looks like the perfect storm. I mean, you got the thing coming from the west. You got the thing coming from the Atlantic Ocean on up. And so, I mean, it's really a mess right now. And I guess I got snow all over West Virginia, Virginia right now. So it's going to be an interesting storm when it all comes together.
Wow. Well, I know about those things coming at you. You just got to kind of batten down the hatches and ride it out sometimes.
Meanwhile.
I've done that before. I've got caught up here before. We'll see what happens.
Meanwhile, the election is 8 days away. And boy, the all eyes have been off the election over the weekend because they're watching Sandy. David Axelrod came on CNN yesterday and said, hey, we want turnout. We're a little worried about turnout. Johnny, they've been voting a month. I mean, you ought to be able to vote. Just vote today.
Well, and of course, the strategy was get that turnout in the early votes, and different states have different times to vote. It's different everywhere, and that does take that last week out of the picture, it looks like, and it might have an effect on it, Steve, but, that's just the way it is right now, and I think all eyes are on this storm, and I know a couple people from New York who left New York City a little earlier this week, so we'll see. I think they gotta watch out for this storm because it can be bad and you gotta take them seriously.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I don't know that it's gonna help or hurt anybody. I think most people have made up their mind who they're voting for. A lot of people have voted. I think it will hurt anybody where they're trying to rush the polls at the last minute and bring a group of people in, or maybe bust some people in to say they have to get their vote in. I think that could hurt in that sense. But I think most people have made up their minds, and whether it works out the way I want it to work out or somebody else wants it to work out, it's America. What happens in times of crisis like this, when you have this kind of a storm, it doesn't matter what our debt is. It doesn't matter what anything is. That money's going to be there to help these states who need help, period.
Yeah. All right, let's go to 60 Minutes from last night. A great piece about Johnny's good buddy, Shad Khan. Listen to this.
He'd been accepted at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana to study mechanical engineering. He spent his first night at the local YMCA.
So your room was on this side of the building or the other side?
It was a dormitory, I believe, was this side right here, yeah.
His room at the Y set him back just $2. But Khan was so afraid of running out of money, he headed out the next morning to find a job.
Got up and walked up on Wright Street, and they were hiring dishwashers. $1.20 was wow. I think I'm gonna make it. This is my liberation. I control my destiny. And
a job washing dishes.
Yes.
Would allow you to control your own destiny.
Absolutely. $1.20 an hour. That's big money. I mean, more than what 99% of the people in Pakistan were making. I can control my destiny. I can control my life.
Isn't that what it's all about, Johnny?
Well, it's freedom, and it is independence and the ability to control your own destiny. I think that was a great statement, and it's really what most people want too, Mike, if they get a chance to do it. And sometimes you get talked out of it, and it takes a little discipline to keep working, but that sums it up. $1.20 an hour and owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the wealthiest, most successful men in the world. There you go. America.
Yeah, I think it's a great story. And again, it goes to the American dream and what this country is all about. But I mean, right now it's changed. It really has changed significantly. We have so many people right now who don't want to follow this pursuit, don't want to take any job they can take for the sense of working because they know somebody's going to help them. There's always Big Brother, you know, and when you look, we have that mentality and the government has that mentality, then it's wrong because you discourage people. You take away their initiative, their drive, their independence, their will to succeed. And I think when you do that, you really tear down the fiber of America.
Well, listen to another piece from the Shad Khan 60 Minutes segment last night, and the words that he's talking about kind of ring here in America now.
Because, oh my God, I mean, you know, you've been here. See how hard things are. You know, power's going out. It's 108 degrees.
Talking about Pakistan.
It's tough. But I think this is physical things. I think the biggest impediment here is that hope. And, you know, getting to the next stage, it doesn't matter, how hard you work. There are forces that kind of, prevent you from being the best you can be.
There's forces that prevent you, things getting in the way, a.k.a. what, regulations, Johnny, more taxes, things like that?
It's culture. It's their kind of, you're in a certain place in culture, and it's hard to break through that class, if you will. You can't get out of it no matter what you do. You're not going to get a promotion or a job or a chance to make more money or move into another neighborhood or another house. It just doesn't happen in some cultures. You weren't born into the right culture. You don't just get a chance to do anything you want like America. We take it for granted. It's unique. And what that does, Steve, is allows the best to rise to the top. And I think and allows anyone to rise to the top if they can contribute. And some cultures just, Mike, they just don't have that opportunity because of traditions and forces keep people down.
And you make a very good point, and it allows people to rise. And that's why there will always be a class thing in America or anywhere else, because you're going to have the class that works, class that drives themselves, you have the class that doesn't want to. And then people come back and, well, they didn't have a chance. Whether you do have a chance. The man just told you, you do have a chance. If you're willing to work, if you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to do something that might not be pleasant for you to do to earn a living, you can do it. But it's up to you. I mean, and I think that's, again, so you understand there's going to be people that have money, there's going to be people in the middle, and there's going to be people that don't have money. That's just a fact of life. You can't change that.
Well, and how many people would pull their socks up and say, I want to wash dishes today? I mean,
the difference, though, Steve, here, we can work as a dishwasher, and then if you get a chance maybe to run the restaurant or help manage it, and then you might get a chance to own a restaurant. That's what the difference between our country and another country is. If you want to, you might get that opportunity, where someplace else it's like if you're a dishwasher, you can't move up. You're not in that class.
John, that's a great example. We do that in our restaurant. We take kids who come in, and they're busboys or they're dishwashers. Then all of a sudden, we put them on the floor. They become an assistant manager. We have some guys that have started in the kitchen as busboys who are now managers, assistant managers in our restaurant. That because you can grow. You can learn
exactly
bottom up. If you hire somebody, you should put them in. When we hire a guy, we want to train him to be a manager. You put him in the dishwasher first. You put him in with the cooks. Then you put him in with the order takers. You put him in with the waiters. You put him in with everybody, so he understands the whole scope of the business. Then you become a good manager.
Exactly, Steve. And of course, I've got guys too that started out just actually cleaning the shop, and then they learn how to weld, and then before you know it, they're they're helping with projects, and then they're out selling jobs. And before you know it, they're making more money than we ever thought we'd make at VersaBar going to one guy. I mean, it's just America.
Yeah.
And in a lot of places, and Shad will tell you, you don't have that chance. You're lucky if you can get food for the next meal. And so I think that's where we're very blessed.
Well,
and we need to keep it that way. We don't want to lose that.
How do we lose the appreciation of what this is?
Think you're entitled. You think you're entitled to it. You accept it as yours, and you want more. You just don't have the gratitude, and you don't understand. I always said that in order to graduate from high school, we need to send people to India for 2 weeks. India is a pretty safe place. Go to India for 2 weeks, Steve. You think the attitude would change?
Yeah.
When you see the people there that would never have a chance to go anywhere, much less to control their own destiny? By starting with a job anywhere.
You won the baby lottery if you're born in America, really.
Right,
it's
you're right.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's 6 billion on the planet, 300 million live here, and you're one of them. This is awesome, and it kills me, Mike, that people tear us down from within. The people here that say how bad we are and all this apology stuff, it just drives me crazy.
Well, but they're the phonies of life. They're the politically correct leftists, whatever you want to call them. They're going to apologize for everything. They apologize for religion, for belief in God, for belief in country. They apologize all because this is not the way it should be now. Well, it's the way it was 100 years ago. It's the way it should be now. That's the way it should be 100 years from now. This is America. If you don't like it, pick up your stuff and haul your ass out of here. That's all. Get out. Go somewhere else and try to make it as well as you can make it here.
You've got one out of 25 shot of even being born in this country, and I think you're right about winning just from being born here. But you need to not take that for granted, and you need to appreciate that because it's not the same anywhere else. And I think that the Americans, by and large, have been very generous and have helped others and have tried to show other cultures, maybe you should look at trying to do this. This might be a better way to go. I think we tried to do that, and I'm very proud of being American. We don't dictate.
We liberate. That's what Mitt Romney.
Well, we try, and of course, there's been times where we've maybe gotten a little bit ahead of the curve, and we're not perfect. But our intent has always been to spread democracy and freedom, because that allows all people to reach the biggest potential they can get to. You know, Mike, and I think we've tried to share that overall.
I agree with you. We've been leader in trying to help the world with its problems instead of what we've become right now is we're reacting to everything instead of leading the way and taking being at the forefront of things that are happening. I think that's why when you get criticism from abroad, this is part of it. They don't see us as being a strong leader anymore. And I think that's one of the big problems we have in this country. And the perception is becoming reality.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. All right, to the NFL. The Bears pull one out, Mike.
Well, you know, the bottom line in this business, you got to win. Now, we said on the air yesterday, and anybody who listened, Bears are a good football team. I thought that defensively they probably didn't play their best game yesterday. I think they're still an outstanding football team. I think offensively, Jay Cutler's really played well at the end of the game. Fourth quarter, his rating is unbelievable. They start slow. They got to get the offense on track. They got to be more predictable on offense. But this is a good football team, guys. They're going to be there at the end. The only thing I said it, and I mean it. Don't look back, because here comes the pack.
Well, I'll tell you, though, Mike.
Packers also played terrible yesterday, and they won. So, you know, let's face it. It's going to be a dogfight, scratch and bite down to the end, I think.
Well, I watched the Bears, and I got to tell you that it's kind of, you know, feeling bad about how wish I had a team with a defense. Because if you have a defense, you can always come back. If you can just stay within range. Our offense, you know, we changed coaches again. Joe Vitt got back, so we're a little bit slow on offense. And we're done. They're going to score 40 points, and we're left in the dust.
Was the Saints play calling the problem, or what did Denver do last night to beat the Saints?
Well, we just didn't get going on offense, and Joe Vitt was calling the plays. I'm sure that changed the rhythm. You know, it's not easy to score 35 points in NFL, by the way. You start watching a team that does that, and it's like, yeah, it's no big deal. It's hard to do that. And we just didn't get it going. What did we get, 7 points? It was just a slaughter. And of course, you knew Peyton Manning's going to score 30 or 40 points against our defense. And
their defense,
that's the way it goes. But I wish we had a defense, and that just shows you got to have a defense of some kind to really contend. You just have to.
They have no defense. You're right. But then again, I know one thing. I don't care if I was the head coach in waiting or the assistant coach or the guy who's meant to be. I wouldn't have changed the play calling from the week before. That's all I know.
Right.
Now, I don't care. I have no ego about that. I'm just saying that. But they have no defense, guys. It's the worst defense I've ever seen. I mean, and I said this morning. I said that honestly, the defense I had when I was there, we weren't good, is better than that defense.
Wow.
Believe me.
Mm. All right. I thought the Steelers had the worst looking. Did they see those uniforms the Steelers wore yesterday?
Those were a little bit rough, but at least you remember them.
Yeah, there's stripes. Are they the retro? Did the Steelers used to wear uniforms like that, Mike?
Well, yeah, everybody did. The Bears did, too. Yeah, I think I had a throwback to Hallis in the 20s when the league started. I mean, all the stripes, a lot of the most of the stripes up and down were vertical. So, I mean, it was a strange looking uniform, but you know what? It was interesting. I mean, and the Steelers surprised me. They really played the Redskins a lot better than I thought they would, and they came out with a big win.
I tell you what, Johnny, you said it's hard to score 35 in the NFL. It's hard to win a football game in the NFL.
It's hard to close a game out anymore just to get you know, you're winning the whole game, and it's just to end up winning that game, it is hard.
It's hard to win football games.
You got to play the whole game.
And then, of course, Illinois loses to Indiana, and it's hard in Champaign-Urbana right now because our football team is really struggling. I mean, it's tough. It is really difficult to watch all of this happening down here.
It is hard, Steve, and you get to a state like we're in, and you just have to, I guess you just keep fighting. You do need to keep maybe trying something new. Mike, I don't know, you can't keep doing the same thing because you keep losing. But
let me say something, guys. You don't win football games because you're the University of Illinois or Minnesota or Michigan or anybody. You win because you have good coaching and good football players. The main thing is a football player, so the recruiting is so important in college football. I really believe that. But if you look at some of the small colleges and you look at some of the programs that are being built, where are they getting these people if the Big Ten can't get these people? Because evidently they're not going after them because they don't know about them. And these athletes are content to go to a small school because they can know they can make a big name for themselves. I mean, there's a lot of good athletes out there. Evidently, right now, Illinois is not getting a share.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think some of it's just the new system, and they're not buying in. You know, we had Ron Zook, and a lot of players came to play for Ron Zook, and I don't know how much energy they've got for, you get down, and once you start losing too, Mike, it can be kind of one of those things that kind of propagates itself, and you got to just shake it off and try to – try to give it 100% no matter what.
Last night on Fox.
Again, the 2-2 pitch. Got him looking, and the Giants have won it all.
Wow, I never would have picked a sweep. Giants over the Tigers, Mike, when World Series is over.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people, you know, the Tigers got hot at the right time, and I heard a theory today, they shut it down for 6 days a week for the Giants to get in. The Giants played all the way through Cincinnati, through St. Louis, and all of a sudden, you know, they were ready to play. They were primed to play, and they said, you know, I don't know if that theory holds up with me. I know one thing. If you don't hit the ball, you can't win. They didn't hit the ball. I mean, look at their hits, guys. Look at the amount of runs they scored. Yesterday, they scored three. That's the most they scored in any game in these last four. So, I mean, when you look at it, you got to give all the credit in the world to the San Francisco Giants. I mean, you can't take anything away from Detroit, but you got to give them all the credit. They did what they had to do to get in. They played their way through it, and they won the World Series, and that's terrific.
And tell you, Steve, that's how close the Cardinals came to making it there.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have won it one game.
Absolutely they could have won it. Yeah. Anybody could have won it if you get there.
Yep. That's right.
The Giants just got hot. And two, when you start stringing those hits together, that's what counts. I think that fifth game, too, Steve, in St. Louis, I think the Cardinals had more hits than the Giants, but we couldn't get the runs.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
You got to hit the ball, and you got to hit it at the right time.
Finally, in golf, Hunter Mahan wins in Malaysia. And then I love this. they paid Tiger Woods $2 million. Rory McIlroy got $1 million, a little one-on-one. I'm waiting for my offer to play anybody in golf. $2 million just to play the game, Mike.
I got that offer. I got $2 million offer not to show up. And I did. I got the money in the bank.
Well, when are they? Did they play that?
Rory beat him by one shot.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't see that one.
And Tiger said, "That's okay. Where's my check?"
Right. Exactly. But that's good. That's good competition. Good money. That's another example of only in America, Stevie.
Yep.
No, that's Malaysia.
Well, but it's still the American game that pushed that all the way, and it's our guys. I think I'm going to take a little credit for that.
Well, I said earlier we could probably get Tiger Woods to Stone Creek if we had $2 million.
Well, sure.
We could have Tiger Woods and Mike Ditka one-on-one. Come on.
Well, but come on, man. If you're going to give him two, you got to give me a 10.
Well, gentlemen, Mike, we'll watch you Monday Night Football tonight. You look great on television. Everybody wants to know what you say. You do a great job for ESPN. We'll watch you tonight. We'll catch up on Friday as we close in on this election 8 days away. We'll find out what Sandy does this week and hope and pray people stay safe. Mike and Johnny, always a pleasure.
Well, all right, Mike, be careful up there with that weather.
Thanks again, Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. And Mike is in Connecticut this morning. He said it's blowing around, it's windy, and he doesn't know when he'll get home. He does have a radio show that he does from his restaurant on Thursday night, so I'm sure he'll make it back for that. In any event, Mike Ditka did not say it. And now it's getting interesting even for Friday's broadcast.
$150.
Is that what it is?
It'll be. 150.
All right. That'll be on Friday's broadcast. Make sure you're tuned in this Friday from 7:30 to 8 as we continue to play a game Mike knows nothing about.
Right.
Affectionately called Stop It. ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.